Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. And Chris's business is in all the continents. We're watching now for recovery and for reaction to the war in Ukraine, the lockdowns and supply chain questions out of China, and the inflationary environment called the cost of living in Great Britain. The question of recession is introduced. There's much gloom in the Milken Institute meetings in Los Angeles that I'm told, according to The Economist, take place in the same venue where the stars of Hollywood celebrate their success at the Oscars or other important events. So there's glitz and gloom together in L.A. Chris, the Federal Reserve has now spoken, a half point, okay, an unwinding of the QE, that is the balance sheet that has grown to $9 trillion. Uncertainty about what happens next. However, there's also uncertainty in the world. So I mentioned three of them. One, the war in Ukraine. What will happen? Two is the lockdowns in China. We've discussed over the last weeks and we'll mention again. And then the third is this inflationary environment. However, you bring to my attention Bloomberg reporting what is characterized as a crash in productivity, the most since 1947. What is driving the crash in productivity, and how does that relate to these three uncertainties? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You're seeing a really bifurcated effect in the labor market, which is causing a number of problems. Labor costs are way up, but at the same time that labor costs are up, you're seeing jobless claims also starting to go up. Those two should be somewhat antithetical. I believe what you're seeing is the first real bite of the inflationary spiral that's hit in Q1 U.S. domestic supply chains, causing further delays, causing further loss of productivity and economic output because of those disruptions. Now the question is, with Fed tightening, will that start to ease back some of the inflationary pressure? Or is this just the first round in what could be a very, very disruptive series of economic announcements?
So labor costs surge 11.6% in Q1. This is the Bloomberg report pointed out on a website called Zero Hedge that we all read because it's highly entertaining and tends to be exciting. And 11.6 sounds like a crushing number. That is the bidding on workers and millennials. And yet we have these more than 11 million jobs gone wanting. Does that match, Chris, that they're raising wages and at the same time there are doubts about productivity because of the raising of wages and the decline in actual product? And now we have these jobless numbers. You said they were antithetical. It sounds like we're in a brave new world.
Think of the economy, though, as being very striated from entry level and quickly replaceable, interchangeable positions to more highly skilled. In the more highly skilled positions, the costs are just spiraling really almost out of control. In the lower skilled environments, the costs are continuing to go up and up and up, but you're seeing changes in productivity, changes in models in a lot of businesses, using hospitality and restaurant as an example, more and more automation that will displace workers because there's just such a challenge to the economic model that many of these businesses cannot survive at the current labor rates in their business model. So that's forcing change revolution.
You have enterprises in three continents that matter a lot. Europe, North America, and Asia. The European story is dominated by war in Ukraine. Are you seeing knock-on effects of the war in Ukraine? I know you don't depend on the price of wheat, and you don't depend especially on the price of petrol. However, is there gloom settling in Europe similar to what we see in LA?
What you're seeing in Europe among the population is A, both intense concern about Ukraine, but B, intense concern about their energy prices. You have energy prices in the UK that are spiraling up 4 to 10-fold normal, and that's just destroying discretionary spending by many consumers. If you have to make the choice of, am I going to go see a movie or pay the gas bill typically comes first. That being said, a lot of those consumers that are kind of on the edge now are being pushed over the edge because of these spirals in energy, and I think you start to see that translate to multiple points of life and discretionary consumer spending that will dramatically reduce or grind to a halt in many sectors in Europe.
Right. The UK now has a cost of living crisis that is driving the political conversation, local elections, parliamentary elections, Boris Johnson's popularity. I moved to Asia because this last week I'm paying a great deal of attention to the lockdowns in Shanghai, which you brought to my attention, along with other provinces I know very poorly about. There's very poor information, but the number given by The Guardian is 340 million people in 46 cities locked down in some fashion. We feature Shanghai because heretofore it's been associated with the entrepreneur class, the private enterprise. But now the tentacles of lockdown reaching into Beijing, doing everything they can to avoid the term lockdown, but neighborhoods and venues shut down, restaurants blocking patrons. So many of the attributes of the Shanghai shutdown. Is that easing in any fashion? Because there have been anecdotes about, say, factory workers or enterprises allowed to leave their homes, travel to the work site and stay there. Is that growing?
It's growing, but the challenge in China is the unpredictability, where you have major cities, major transit ways, major ports that either remain closed or are open or closed seemingly at will or at whim without a lot of logic behind it. The Chinese are generally used to simply obeying and following those instructions, but you're seeing more and more currents, potentially of civil disobedience, of people saying, wait a minute, there's no rhyme or reason to this, and it seems to be increasingly spontaneous. But I think there will continue to be challenges in the next months ahead, unless there's either eradication of the virus, which is unlikely to happen, or the Chinese government understanding that destroying their own economy does not help their political futures.
I mentioned that in Science magazine or Nature, I get them confused because I flip through them. I don't understand a great deal, but there's news reporting and there's attention to a young man, a researcher, who's given the credit in South Africa for identifying Omicron BA2, the strain, the variant that has dominated the conversation recently. I mention also that there's said to be Omicron BA4 and Omicron BA5. I don't know if it's different. I don't know what it means, but the Omicron variants are growing in number, and that may or may not support the zero COVID practices of China, the unknown. And now we come home to the inflation story. There is the case made on Bloomberg TV, a number of distinguished economists, that we cannot be certain if the Fed tightening now, so-called aggressive tightening, is out of step with the inflation picture. In other words, what's returned to prominence, Chris, is the possibility that the inflation we're experiencing here and in Europe is supply chain contributed, is the product of the shutdowns, the lockdowns that are lifting now. Is that something that makes sense to you, that we might be tightening thinking that it's endemic when it's not?
John, I use the old trope that history repeats itself right up until the point that it doesn't. The Fed is looking at the playbook from the 70s and 80s, where you had runaway inflation and used inflation relative to trying to correct the markets, especially in the early Reagan administration. The challenge being, at that point, the U.S. was not so dependent on a global supply chain. And also at that point, you did not have a global pandemic that continued to rage. So we're into new and undiscovered territory where the Fed is using the playbook that they know. That's probably the least bad option. However, the chances to overcorrect or make a mistake are so great that I think it's just something that bears very close watching. It's clear at ground level in talking to business people and seeing businesses across the country day in, day out, that there is such a significant disruption that many of those businesses are having fundamental challenges, that an interest rate is great and change in Washington to try to remove inflation is great, but that doesn't solve the on-the-ground problems of workers and supply chains that are fundamentally broken.
The last minute, the return to the office, a mixed picture. However, we are returning to the office 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Will that contribute to growth? Will that offset these gloomy thoughts? In your business especially, we have about a minute. In Silicon Valley, back to the office.
John, I'm in Silicon Valley now looking out at 10 large office buildings, and all those office buildings, the parking lots are completely vacant. In Silicon Valley, you have very much now a work remote culture that's kind of kicked in. That's great, except for the fact that none of these buildings in the Valley are particularly cheap. All of the services around them are at a lower use rate because you don't have employees coming into those offices. So the question is how that economy shifts to make the best and highest use of assets and resources that are in play. I think what you're going to see is a struggle globally in what does back to work mean? What does that mean for economic models, property taxes, services? How does that reshape the economy if people are working more remotely? And in many of those more educated professional jobs, doctors, lawyers, software programmers, you can do that, but you can't work remote from the factory floor. So the real question will be, does this squeeze out that remaining working class person to make it more and more difficult, the tale of two societies, one that can work remote, one that can't, and what does that mean for the future?
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scala.com. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.